Hey, this is Tony.
This is Austin.
This is Alex.
This is Kayla.
And this is Lena.
And this is No Nonsense Backseat Producers, because we've been chatting for a while already.
It's been 2 hours.
And haven't started talking about this. To be fair, you guys got here a little late.
A little late,
yeah.
All right, so this week we're talking about beginners at either before or after this episode, maybe even just this week as a bonus episode. We have the stuff that we've been talking about for a while that has nothing to do with movies, but it's a pretty fun discussion anyway. So next week we're talking about To Kill a Mockingbird. Let's get that out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
And beginners. Alex, what'd you think?
Meh. There are some parts of the movie that I really, really liked and some parts of the movie that really annoyed me. So we'll get into it.
Okay.
Does that have anything to do with science?
No.
Okay.
You had that one in the queue, didn't you? The nerd science queued. I was just waiting. Austin, what'd you think?
It's not a movie I would have, you know, watched on my own, but I mean, it was interesting. It's kind of long, but other than that, it's all right.
Kayla?
I'm going to, unless otherwise convinced through this podcast, which is likely, it has happened, I didn't really care for the movie.
All right.
It's my second time seeing it, and I think it's a lovely movie. And I do see your point. It's, I don't know, would you consider that an indie film? But I think it's a lovely film. I liked it.
Oh, it's a focus feature, so it's Oscar bait. I mean, focus features tend to be movies that are shooting for Oscar. They're not shooting for blockbusters.
Mm-hmm.
They're shooting for the awards.
I could see that. I could certainly see that.
And Christopher Plummer won an Oscar for this. So.
Which I forgot, so thank you.
Yeah. I liked it. It was... If I was in a dark place, I would have spiraled, I think, watching this movie. Like, I was in a good mood.
On that
I was in a good mood, and it was fine, but there was so much of it that could have gone really sad. Like, if I would have recently lost a parent or something like that, man, this would have been rough to watch. But that said, I liked the performances. It did feel a little meandery. But I did like the performances. I thought the acting was great.
Mm-hmm.
So I would agree with that.
The acting was really great.
I loved the acting. The way the story was told is the big thing that bothered me the most. The flashing back and forth and not knowing, like, if this flashback was before or after the previous flashback, like, where I'm at was really...
That didn't bother me.
It didn't bother me
because
too much because...
I understood it. It's supposed to be, like, this cerebral, like... You know, we're moving through memory, and, mm-hmm. like, I understood all of that as a way to tell the story.
And I actually liked it. I mean, I like stories within stories, so
right. So
that storytelling device worked for me. And I felt like, for the most part, there was three different timelines that we were running through.
Yes.
And they felt like each of them were chronological within their own scope. So we followed... Ewan McGregor post dad dying. Spoiler is dad's dead, but that's in the
that's on the box
from the beginning.
It's on the box.
So we've the main story, like it's kind of like Inception. So we have the main story where he's going through. Then we have the memories of his dad right before he dies, and like what he's going through in the period of time leading up to
his mom dying,
him coming out. Him getting cancer and that there was a little bit of jumping back and forth with it. I think I couldn't quite tell because I couldn't, there were times where I couldn't tell if it was jumping back and forth or if it was linear, but just
as far as with the dad years.
Yeah.
No, I know. I understand. Cause you didn't, and, he was having a party, but you didn't know, did he have cancer or was this when he first came out and was in
but,
the excitement?
But they were
meeting
pretty clear about that. They were always pretty clear about whether or not he had the cancer and at one point and who knew what.
Well, yeah, the son, you know, pulled him aside at one party and was like, you have stage 4 cancer. You need to stop doing this.
Yeah.
And he was like, it just means it's only been through three
yeah,
other stages.
There is no stage 5. That's just mean we've gone through three. But knowing of people who have terminal diseases, you're either eaten up by it and you spiral, or you're like he was and it's like, you know what? I've got it. It's not going away. I'm going to live my life and be happy. I want to be happy. I'm choosing to be happy. And so he did. And then there was the stuff with the mom that was farther back. And that, I couldn't tell if that was sequential or not, and it didn't seem to matter as much.
Mm-mm. It was more kind of giving a little bit of a background to, more to you and then to, I mean, there was a little bit like when the father, when he has the talk with his father, and this I forgot from when I watched it the first time, that the mother knew when they got married that he was gay. And she said, I'm going to fix that. I can fix that. I'd forgotten about that. And the son never knew any of this.
One of the things that bothers me is I don't feel like I got enough about the mother. Like, we get all these memories from his childhood. Pretty much everything we see of the mom is from his childhood. Mm-hmm. I don't recall if there's anything at all from, like, later on in life. And a lot of the memories are repeated. You know, they repeatedly show, like, her, you know, them kissing.
Some of them are different, too. Some of them there's some subtle differences in some of the memories, which I like how they approach that.
I felt that's representing memory. You know, he's talking about how I always pictured him wearing the purple sweater, but actually he was wearing this. And then they go, you know, they're changing things.
And he repeats the dialogue like the daisies. He repeats the dialogue like five times.
In different ways.
And they're all subtly different. And it's like he's trying to remember how exactly did he say it.
Right.
Which, after someone you know and care for passes away, you're trying to remember and not get clouded by an ideal memory. You're trying to remember actuality, but you can't always do that. So I like that. I thought that was clever.
Yeah.
That part, I like that part as well, because every time you remember something, it's like opening a text document and you make changes to it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that happens every time.
Sure.
So.
And it's, I mean, and you see it when you are with somebody for a long time, like a spouse or a child. And I'm sure you guys can attest to, Alex will start telling a story and you're like, that's not exactly how that happened. Or, you know, or vice versa, that it's like you have the gist of it, but you're forgetting this other little detail, mm-hmm. or you're intentionally glossing over it, or your memory's changing it.
You're exaggerating this, or you're understating this.
Yep. And I catch Holden on that all the time. It's like, where are you coming up with this? Because I went there, and that's not at all. It's not at all how that happened.
Up until I was, like, 13, I used to, like, just legitimately rewrite history that happened. Like, and I honestly thought that, you know, like, I wasn't just straight lying. I really thought that, you know, I played for the Dodgers instead of the Rangers when I was in, you know, T-ball and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, my mom was just like, no, that's
not how that happened.
That is just wrong.
Yeah, and we have, I mean, it happens when we talk about movies, too, where somebody starts talking about a movie and it's like, that's not how that happened.
That's literally not how it happened.
Yeah.
Factually, you're incorrect. Yeah.
We could replay the movie if you would like.
Yeah.
I wanted to get more on more of a resolution, or more of him, like, examining his parents' relationship, and, like there's some of it. But I guess at the same time, he's grappling with this new wonderful relationship that's so wonderful, it obviously has to end. Like, I was just distracted by that. I wanted them to talk more about why this happened, you know.
You mean him talk to his father about it?
Yeah, his father, you know, it was the 50s, you know, like, people could literally die, you know. So it was a choice and a lot of people have made it.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not their spouse knew, you know, they decided, hey, I'm a gay man, but I'm going to try to live a straight life because I don't see another choice. Like,
homosexuality was illegal.
Right.
Right. And, you know, there wasn't.
And in some areas, could be a death sentence.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And it's not. And it's not because of AIDS. It was because there were people that would bury you.
Yeah, exactly. I wanted, maybe that's because I'm kind of like, I kind of have, like, an activist mindset, but I wanted them to explore that more and maybe this isn't the movie to do that in, because it's so, like I said.
Yeah, the movie wasn't really about his dad so much. I don't know. It feels like there was either not enough or too much.
In my opinion, the movie was about him processing the emotions of his dad's death. It was him working through the grief. The whole movie takes place after his dad died,
mm-hmm.
and everything else we see is just flashbacks and him understanding the story of his dad. That is a brand new story to him because he never knew his dad was gay. He didn't know that huge part of his dad.
The dad he knew up until the point where his mom died, really totally different man than the dad he knew in the last 5 years right. when he was able to fully come out
and
embrace his life.
The one thing I liked was they didn't do the cliche thing of, you've been lying to me my entire life, so I reject you. They didn't do that. No. And that's good because, and realistically, when you understood more of the story about how he saw how his mom and dad were, it wasn't that they weren't in love, which is what he always assumed, was that there was no love. It was that there was no sexual attraction
yeah.
between his dad and his mom. It wasn't that his dad didn't love his mom, because he did. Mm-hmm. He did love her. But it wasn't a sexual love, the love of a husband and wife. It was the love of two people who were cohabitating and who had a child together, and he was trying to live a life that wasn't his.
And when you find out in the movie, the point that you find out that the mom always knew he was gay, you see those scenes again. To me, I see them totally different. Because in the beginning, when they just show the kiss, almost like the empty kiss,
right?
She looks angry.
Yeah.
But after you know, and then they show those scenes again and again, to me, she looks sad. And it's the same thing.
Yeah.
But I see her different.
Yeah. And she still appreciates the thing that he gave her. The child,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's no animosity toward the child, because that's the thing that they did together. And I like that. I don't know. I just really like yeah. that. And mom clearly had other issues. So there was other stuff going on with mom that, as a child's memories, he doesn't understand. And he's not seeing, is mom an alcoholic? I don't know. They don't show her drinking. But her actions.
She's definitely so acting. when they're at the art show.
Yeah, and the actions are of someone, seemingly someone who's drunk, but you never see her drinking. But is that just the filter of his memory removing the drink from her hand and not
as a child who wouldn't understand that there's even a connection
right.
between those things?
And was mom always that way? Was mom drinking to numb
the fact that she couldn't fix her husband?
Yeah, because she failed in fixing her husband. I mean, I don't know. There's a lot that could be going on there. And they don't explain it. And I kind of like that they don't, because you can take different things from it.
I like the dog. I liked Arthur. I liked Arthur's dialogue.
Yeah.
I did like that. I did like that.
As cliche as that was.
For me, it was kind of weird. Cool.
Are we married
like,
yet?
I would read the dialogue and then look at the dog's face and just like, shit, it looks like he's actually thinking that right now.
No. Jack Russells are great for that.
I was like, can I read minds right now? Is that what he's really trying to say? No, like,
I understand 150 words, but I can't answer you.
Yeah. I also liked how the dog, regardless of what is happening, always appears to have just come inside from playing in the rain.
To Jack Russell for you.
I was like, he looks kind of dirty and kind of wet, and like he would just like rub up against you.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
I like that whenever he left the dog alone, it would cry and howl until he gave it to his dad's boyfriend. Yeah, Andy. And then he like closed the door and was like, you know, sitting there, you know, standing there, waiting for a couple seconds, like, oh shit, he's not screaming right now? And like has to get in his car all quick before he goes back inside and grabs him. And then the part where he goes to New York, he's on the phone with her and he's going to the house. I thought that was kind of weird. It's like, that's my kitchen. This is where I used to cook. Or this is where I cook. It's my bathroom.
Yeah.
This is my bathroom.
That was a little creepy. But
it was just so monotone.
He did make the effort to go all the way to New York, though.
Yeah.
So, and then she's like, yeah, I understood
they were trying to reflect, like, that's how he shows the house to the dog. Mm-hmm. And then that's
and he
how
did the
shows,
same thing to her
right,
when she moved in.
Her,
right.
So
the
then
living room.
That's her doing that for him.
Oh, I didn't put that together.
I was really annoyed with their relationship. Like, I didn't understand the part where he decided she needed to leave. Like, because it was his decision.
Yeah.
Like, she was the one who was unhappy for some reason. We never fully understand why, what her dissatisfaction
could be,
is.
Could be partly the dad, partly something else. I don't
she didn't unpack. Yeah.
Yeah, obviously there's something going on with him. But I don't feel like they, or at least we aren't shown the conversation that they have where anything is clarified.
But I think it's on purpose.
Right.
And I think the reason is because everything is through his lens. He is the narrator of the story, and as imperfect as he is at being a narrator, because this is his memories of the story, and he is so focused on his own grief that, yeah, he has her in his life, and yeah, he appreciates her being there. He's not digging into her. You know, he's not analyzing her and picking her apart and trying to understand her the way he is trying to understand his dad and that relationship with his dad that mm-hmm. he just lost.
Because all of his previous long-term relationships he'd had, he sabotaged them. She would leave her relationships, he would sabotage
mm-hmm.
to make it end. So, I mean, they're obviously both of them broken. And
I think what happened there, what I got from it was they took a big step and then he freaked out.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And then she didn't unpack her clothes. And I think he took that as, oh, you're freaking out too. This must not be right.
Right. Or it was a rejection.
You know, maybe, yeah, there's something wrong with me and you know it or something like that is what I saw it as.
Instead of, we're both scared.
Yeah.
But we can keep moving forward.
Well, and you also have to look at what his example of a,
oh, yeah.
of a marriage and a loving relationship was.
He didn't have one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He had no point of context for that.
No.
And that's hard for people who don't have that.
So these are the parts of the movie that I really liked, was seeing him struggle and trying to piece things together and trying to, in their relationship, like they know that they like each other, but they're still afraid. So they like keep a distance. What's that thing called? Porcupine cuddling or something?
The porcupine dilemma.
Yeah, the porcupine
dilemma.
Hedgehog's dilemma.
Yeah. They want to cuddle, but they're prickly.
You can't get close enough.
So it's, like, I really liked watching that part.
See, that was the part that's the most frustrating to me, because for maybe it's just through my lens, because to me that's the easiest part, you mm-hmm. know? Like, that's easy to me.
Their relationship should have been a whole lot easier mm-hmm. than they were making it. They were the instruments of their own destruction. All they had to do was just stay together and continue to grow together.
Mm-hmm.
But they sabotaged. Both of them sabotaged
yes.
it. We mostly saw it from his point of view. Mm-hmm. But his point of view also was that he didn't try to understand her.
Right.
You know, he got her story, but he didn't try to understand her. The graphic art stuff that he did, the history of sadness.
I loved that.
That kind of annoyed me, but go on.
No, I liked it, but at the same time, as an adult who has a job, I'm just like, just do the fucking job. You know, it's like all he had to do was do the picture. And I just kept thinking, he spent so much time putting this together. And like, if he did it, laid it out, and they, you know, and they liked it or they didn't like it, it's like, you know what? Oh, by the way, here's what you asked for, but this is just an alternative. This is just something else I thought you might be interested in, but here's what you actually asked for, the paying work that you're trying to give me.
As a graphic designer, I can't imagine, like, someone coming to me with something. I understand his frustration. You
sure.
know, he explains it pretty lucidly, I think.
Right.
But to twice come to a client with something they did not ask for, which is not anything close to what they wanted, and never deliver, it's just a waste of, like, everybody's time. You do it once, you know.
Yeah. You show them an alternative.
And they're right. they're like, thanks, but...
This is what
we really
want.
Just want this. Yeah. Then it's like, okay.
It's
or
like
you do it the way you said.
It's like I kind of want a sausage penetrating an awareness ribbon. That's what I'm going for here. And then you slap me upside the head with a pink dildo. That's not really what I asked for. That's fucking hilarious, but not really what I asked
That's
for.
That's hilarious. Maybe another time.
Call me.
Yeah, that part drove me nuts whenever...
Oh, my God.
That would be like me designing a website for furniture for a band.
Yeah.
Like, the fuck is this for? Like, this not...
Yeah.
To me, the thought of being so prideful,
it's like,
how are you paying your bills? Like,
yeah,
can you afford to do that? Like, we don't see you working on any other projects except for, you know, this one.
Yeah, but I just don't get that. I mean, I'll build somebody a tool that's like, on there, and then they like, I don't, it's this weird cultural thing where, like, somebody says, oh, well, I'm afraid to tell you this, but I want to move this around.
Yeah.
I don't give a shit.
Yeah, don't tell me.
I'm like, because, like, I tell everyone that I work with, I'm not the one that has to use this thing. If it doesn't work for you, it doesn't work. I don't care what it looks like. I don't give two shits. It just doesn't matter. We had an HR database that the guy who designed it, all the screens were just shit brown. It was the ugliest thing. So I was talking to one of the HR recruiters, and she's like, could you just make it all pink? You know, because it's all women in the HR department. So I was like, So the next time I was in there changing stuff, I changed every screen to pink. She's like, what the hell did you do? You asked for it. That is specifically what you asked for. And she said, you're right, and it does look better. There you go. Sometimes you get exactly what you ask for.
That's like I'm having to redo. One of our biggest customers is Cisco, the networking company, not the food company. And there's two.
What about the singer?
I don't know who that is.
Also, the thong song?
Also, not the thong, cooking song.
Thong, 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 thong. Yeah.
We were like singing that at work yesterday.
But like,
baby, make your booty go.
I've never heard this before.
Keep going.
Bullshit,
you'll get it at some
you've
point.
You've never heard that song before.
I have no memory of this song.
I know what you're listening to on the way home.
Yeah.
Before, but before or after the drag talk. is he going to be wearing a thong under there?
I couldn't imagine them saying, like, hey, we want you to redesign our user interface, you know, and use our blue company colors. And I give it back to them and it's green or yellow.
Yeah.
Like, I would never do that to a customer.
You wouldn't work in.
Yeah. They pay a lot of money to have you. Me do this.
Yeah, they pay you, not the other way around.
Yeah.
Like, that part really frustrated me. I mean, I understood that he was grieving and all that, but he's lucky he still has a fucking job. That's kind of how I look at it. That was crazy.
Like that, the whole book of sadness that he built.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like that whole book, that would have been a great side project. Do that on the side.
Sure.
Well, the book, The Sads, is the name of the album.
Yeah. Right.
Or the band.
The band, I think.
Call it something else.
It's like, I mean,
the story of sadness. Yeah.
Yeah,
that also seemed unprofessional to me.
50s magazine.
Because if you're working within specs for a job, you can't... I mean, I guess you can if you're, like, big enough, but you shouldn't be like, oh, well, you're going to need a bigger box, because that's dollar
enough.
Size.
I know.
Yeah.
That's like, cost. That's real cost that people aren't going to pay for.
Right.
Yeah.
Unless, for whatever... And I guess we're not told, but unless they... Unless he had that rain, but I feel like he didn't.
Yeah, no. You're right.
They asked him for a portrait for cover art.
Which he started to
and
do.
He was doing inserts and everything else. And it's like, no, jackass.
Because they showed him starting to do...
Yeah,
you know,
he was tracing over.
Yeah, he started to do that. He probably did do that, but then...
Like, definitely as a freelancer, but just as anyone who works on projects in general, scope creep... You need to squash it immediately. You do not bring it into your own product, right? Like,
yeah.
You don't go from a one-page cover art to a 50-page
book.
Dude could
have got an easy check out of this.
Yeah.
Seriously. He would have had a whole lot more time to play around with his new French girlfriend.
If I had been,
I mean, priorities.
Yes.
If I had somebody come up to me like, Alex, we need a one-page website. Okay.
Done.
You fucking got it. I would not turn that into Facebook.
No, right? Why would you?
Like, I would not try to do that.
The only time when I've been working on a project where I have given them an option that I knew was going to be more expensive, I have clarified that it would be more expensive, but I also first gave them exactly what they asked for.
Yep.
And the only time I would give them a more expensive option is if I felt like it really,
you could really
would benefit
from
it.
Add value to it.
But right, you didn't say, this is all I'm giving you, which is
right.
What I think is what's better.
Be like, this is exactly what you asked for,
and,
but then there's this, and if you, it'll be more expensive, but look at it. Like,
right.
It's amazing.
And you know what?
There's
a lot of
it.
In my day job, we hire out to do some project work, and almost across the board you get, okay, here's the scope of your project, this is what you asked for, here's the specs on it, here's the costs on it, here's the amount of time it'll take us to do it, and here's what all the screens will look like. Also, because of other work we do, we think you might appreciate this. Now, here's all the costs involved in it. Here's what we can do for you. Here's all the add-ons it could do. Here's how we could give you this in phase one, what you originally asked for. And then if you find more sources of money and you like what we do, we can add to it and make it this bigger thing in phases 2, 3, and 4.
Right.
Okay. That's good and reasonable, because we're also a not-for-profit and we get a lot of grant. You know, we do a lot of work on grants, so we have to sometimes wait for income. So sometimes we have to just get the minimum at first.
Another thing that really is a problem where I'm currently working is the opposite, where a customer will come in and they'll ask for something, and the people who are setting up the projects, they're like, well, they probably don't actually want to pay for that. And I'm like, well, no, like, give them a quote for that and then work back. Like, why are you trying to...
Why undersell?
Yeah, exactly. Why are you underselling it? They do that all the time. That drives me crazy. Oh, yeah, I know. Like, aren't we trying to make money? Like, why do we offer this?
Say, you're not working in a not-for-profit, are you?
I had the same problem when I worked for Geek Squad. I'd see salespeople on the floor sell a wireless router and like, oh, you can set this up on your own. No, they can't. People are not capable of doing simple tasks like setting up a wireless router. All right? Like, that is the cheapest service we do, and it takes me 15 minutes. Just sell it.
Yeah.
Just do your fucking job and sell it.
Yeah. Ugh. So Christopher Plummer won an Oscar for Best Supporting Actor. He's the oldest person to win an Oscar for this role.
What else has he been in?
The Sound of Music.
A billion things.
Did you see The Sound of Music?
This guy looks so familiar to me. I know I've seen him in other movies.
He's been in a bunch of stuff. He was.
You're getting him mixed up with someone I know.
He's Amanda Plummer's father.
The French girl.
If you know who.
The French girlfriend was in. She was a French police officer in Now You See Me. If you guys ever watched that.
Really?
Yep.
I have seen that. That's a good movie.
Mm. Great movie.
Great example of social engineering for getting passwords.
So, oh, that's the easiest way to get into places.
There's a great scene in that movie where they do it.
They reveal how they got it. And you're like, oh shit!
Yeah, they got all the guys' passwords, and by pretending to be there was one person who was pretending to be a mentalist. They're like, sorry, so I think I've got you figured out. And it's like, and he was like, all right, so pretty sure the first pet you had was a dog. And they're like, no, it was a cat named such and such. And they just got him to just deliver all this information. It's like, oh, and you had an uncle who was your favorite on your mom's side. It was Uncle such and such. And he's like, no, it was so and so. He gave the full name. That was my mom's brother, which gives you your mother's maiden name. I mean, they had this. It was beautiful the way they did it. But it just seems like this scene in a movie where it's just like, people are talking on an airplane. They're just having a conversation. Time. And then later, you see how they use all of that to break his account information. It was just, oh, it was amazing.
And then it is so good. You could see on his face in the movie, great acting. He was like, fuck, I told you guys all of that shit. It's awesome.
Flat out
that movie, you got to watch it. It's a great movie. The guy from, he plays the guy who made Facebook in that movie. He's in Zombieland too.
I know you're talking
about. The nerdy kid.
He's going to be Lex Luthor.
Yeah. Yeah. Great act. He was in that one.
I cannot think of his name.
Is that the one with Leonardo DiCaprio as...
For which one?
Now You See Me?
Oh, no.
No, that was Catch Me If You Can.
That's got the Hulk in it. The Hulk in it, too. He's an FBI agent.
Which Hulk?
The newest one. Okay. From the Avengers.
He was in...
Morgan Freeman's in it, too.
The girl with the dragon tattoo.
Jesse Eisenberg.
Yeah, Jesse Eisenberg. Going back to
Christopher Plummer was in Hector and the Search for Happiness.
Yes, he was. Mm-hmm. Yes, he was.
Beautiful mind.
So, Kevin Mitnick, probably one of the most infamous hackers of all time, stayed away from the FBI for so long, mostly because he was able to social engineer people.
Yep.
Like, he could call somebody up. Like, he could call up some person at AT&T and get them to give him all the information needed to log into one of their computers, which then he was on their network, so he could jump onto a server.
Yep.
Pull whatever information he wanted. Brilliant.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Wasn't he the one that went through like he dumpster dived and got corporate directories?
Maybe.
I want to say I think it was him or somebody else who's now in the white hat community. They talked about how they would dumpster dive and get corporate directories, and they would just randomly call and ask around and find somebody who wasn't in the office and talk to somebody. Oh, hey, I was supposed to talk to so-and-so. He would just randomly call phone numbers, like, after hours.
Yep.
And wait until he got somebody with an out-of-office message. And then he would call someone else in their same department. Hey, I was working with so-and-so, and I find out they're not there. So I was wondering if you could help me out with this. And he'd just talk to him and just chit-chat with him for a few minutes and just get all kinds of access that he wasn't supposed to have.
I love old hacker stories. I love the Woz. Steve Wozniak has amazing old hacker stories. He got arrested one time with a blue box, which was an illegal phone hacking device.
Mm-hmm.
And he told the police officer that it was like a tone generator for music. And the police officer's like, oh, it sounds like it's out of tune. Oh, yeah, it's way out of tune. Like, just shit like that. It was so awesome.
Yeah.
So I recently watched the movie Hackers. It's on Netflix.
I've been dying to get on Netflix or Hulu. Like, I've been searching.
It's on both now.
Yep.
Well, I'm going to watch it.
That movie is...
And I'm going to hack the planet!
Really funny.
Christopher Plummer did a voice in Skyrim.
What?
Arngeir? I don't remember who that is, though.
Who is that?
Arngeir. A-R-N-G-E-I-R.
Oh, shit. I know who that is.
And that was actually after this movie came out.
I know who that is. He was also in Girl with the Dragon Tattoo,
the American remake of that.
For Skyrim, is it just this one name?
There's just one name.
Damn it. It's going to be like a dragon or something. Old as shit.
Oh, he's a Greybeard. I know him.
Yeah.
Oh, is he a Greybeard?
Yeah. I'm waiting for this to finish loading.
He was also the voice of Charles Muntz in Up.
The old guy?
No, the guy that the old guy idolized.
The bad guy,
yep.
I've never seen the movie Up.
You are a terrible human being.
Put that out there.
You've never really cried before. Is this worse than me?
That's what she's saying. When we're done recording, I'll put it in and we'll watch the first five minutes.
Yes.
And get a bucket of tears out of you. It is.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
Yeah.
A river.
I think
I've. Is this worse than this the like fact that point, I said that I didn't? Like... I haven't not yet seen Escape from New York.
No, it's not worse than that.
I'll watch it. I did just watch Tammy.
I don't know what that is.
With Melissa McCarthy.
Oh, yeah.
The only movie that I like are. There's two movies with Melissa McCarthy that I like. It's The Heat and Bridesmaids. Yeah,
I like Bridesmaids.
I haven't seen The Heat yet.
The Heat with Sandra Bullock. It's fucking hilarious.
But really my only comment for Tammy was I did not realize until the very end of the movie that old guy was Gary Cole. That's really my only comment.
Oh, the...
I haven't seen it.
Mine's
unrelated.
Okay, sorry. Go on.
The French girlfriend was also in Inglourious Basterds.
Oh, yeah.
She was the movie star.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Okay.
See, I never put this shit together until you guys talk about it.
Yeah, she's a great actor. I like her.
How we're just completely ignoring Ewan McGregor. Like, we haven't mentioned him.
He was good.
He's
fine.
I had no problem with any acting in this movie.
No.
It was all great.
The acting was good.
Oh.
The acting was solid all around.
So, Andy, that guy looks so much like an actor that I've seen. He played the Amish guy in that bowling movie.
Oh, shit.
Is it the same guy?
No.
He was in ER for a billion years.
The TV show ER.
He was in...
I know my mom used to watch that.
Yeah, he was in that TV show for a billion years.
You'd be nice when you're talking
The only problem I had... one of the problems I had with the movie wasn't in the acting, because I thought the acting was fine out of the guy who played Andy. Andy just felt like he should have been a younger character. Like, the actor should have been younger.
He still seemed... Because
he seemed...
Like, 35
childish,
or 40. Yeah.
But he's not that young.
Yeah.
The actor's not
that
young.
Yeah, almost like there's something not quite...
Like there's...
He's got a little bit of an issue where, yes, absolutely.
He's been touched.
Yeah.
Touched.
Yeah.
And it just felt like... it felt like a 30-year-old actor, as opposed to a 40-plus-year-old actor, I think would have...
Mm-hmm.
Seemed more right. He could have seemed more childish, a little bit closer to the younger age group.
Yep.
When realistically,
in an age where you can see him still trying to hold on to some sort of like childishness or you know, some sort of youthfulness.
Right. It just didn't.
I'm totally on board.
Oh shit! That Ewan McGregor guy. was in 3 Star Wars films.
Yes, it was Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Oh, shit. I've never seen Star Wars before, so I don't know.
None of them have.
That,
do I need to get you a drink? Or you,
that's
yeah,
the worst. That's the worst. You have been. You're I'm fine. Okay. You're fine now.
God damn it, Austin. You got to bring this
Thank
shit up.
Thank you, again. Austin.
That's the worst. Okay. You're going to fix that between now and December because those movies are going to be on Netflix. They did announce that those movies are all going to be on Netflix before The Force Awakens comes out.
I just watched Lord of the Rings like in January.
All of them?
Yeah.
Did you watch the theatrical or the extended?
Theatrical. I bought the extended afterwards. So we will be doing that.
I haven't seen the extended for once.
I love the extended.
Literally spent a whole weekend watching just 3 of those movies.
Yeah,
nonstop.
It's like 12 hours long.
I was told to skip The Hobbit, though.
Yeah.
I haven't seen The
Hobbit.
They're entertaining.
The Hobbit's okay, but it's if you are a huge fan, if you're like a huge Hobbit nerd,
you'll have issues with it.
I wouldn't. There's
you're not, by the way.
I'm not. I haven't read any of the books. I don't know what we're talking about.
If you like Lord of the Rings, watch the first one.
I just love watching Stephen Colbert geek out.
He's in it.
Yeah, but that's because he is a huge
He is a huge
He's in the Hobbit movie?
Huge. Uh-huh. Yeah, he has a very small cameo. It's
but it's
there.
It's small, but you see his entire goddamn face take up the whole screen for like 3 frames. I mean, it's
only because I know nobody I work with listens to this, but I had recently, maybe like 2 weeks ago, saw the 3rd Hobbit movie, and the one with the red hair that's kind of like the 2 kind of tails on the side, he's, you know, he's a dwarf, but he's wee. Yeah. He's like a weird dwarf. One of my mechanics looks exactly like him, and when I got to work the next day, I couldn't look at him.
That's kind of great. That is kind of great.
I asked his, I was like, as a service manager, I'm like, have you seen the Hobbit movies? Yeah. I'm like, doesn't Tad look like one? And he's like, oh, fuck. Why did you tell me that?
There was that elf in Lord of the Rings.
Legolas?
No. The elf Arwen? With the receding hairline, black hair.
Oh, yes. And oh, what's his name? Why can't I remember? The
Hugo
King.
Weaving.
Caleb?
Is that it? Is that the actor?
Oh, the actor's name is Hugo Weaving.
He was also in
The Matrix.
Yes. And Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, which you need to see if you haven't.
I've seen that.
Thank
Who
you.
Who was he? Was he in that?
Yeah, he was one of them. I mean, there was the older guy.
You're right.
The older guy, he was the one with the son. Hugo Weaving was the one.
You're
I've only seen it like 500 times. And Guy Pearce, who's the damn fine-looking one.
When I was in when I was taking figure drawing classes in school, we had a bunch of nude models. And one of the nude models we had, he's one of my favorites because he had just like these amazing poses and really good muscle structure. He looks exactly like that actor. What is the name of the not just the actor, he looks specific. What is the name of the elf?
Oh, it's, shit. I lost
Start with an R?
Elrond.
Elrond.
Completely off.
No,
exactly
not really.
Like Elrond. Like, he walked in.
Your R got me to Elrond.
Yes.
So you honestly did help.
Good.
That awesome. As weird as my brain is to
he
put that
walks,
together.
That doesn't absolve
exactly
you for Star Wars.
He walks in the room. He just robes. He's completely naked, but nobody can notice because we're all looking at each other and we're like, that's Elrond. Like,
I've just seen Elrond's dick.
I love your genital drawings. But whenever you get to the testicles, and it's just
I'm
like,
the only one who would even.
It's like 3 squiggles.
Yeah, that's womp, womp, womp. All right.
It's so good.
I like the sound effects there, too.
I did it in class. Everyone.
Womp, womp,
like,
womp,
womp, womp.
Oh,
Caleb's drawing dicks.
The dicks again.
I was the only student who would even like make a mark, a dick like mark on my page. Everyone's
so
like,
they were all just eunuchs, or just no lower body.
All
everyone drew Ken.
All drawing angels.
My favorite,
big old censor
my bar. Favorite figure drawing that I ever did was of him.
What, not about the lady who gave you the backside of Downward Facing Dog?
What?
Yes. This
what
girl...
kind of sound effects did you make for that one?
Just crying. Just crying. like legitimately facing directly away from me.
Oh God!
So my teacher's making rounds. You know, she's checking on people, and like she gets to me, and I'm just standing there, like there is nothing to draw.
Just draw
it's
a light
just
bulb,
like an arc, and
a big hole.
Me, and she looks at my paper, and she looks at me, and then she looks at the like she sees it from an angle. She's like, oh. Just wait for the next
pass.
One. It's not like there was just nothing to draw except an anus. Like,
just make a big dark hole on the.
That's a star.
Oh my God. What? We're supposed to be talking about the movie
like
for
that,
this podcast.
That episode, there was a SNL skit where this guy comes out and is drawing things, and it's everything he draws looks sexual until he adds a few more details and it's
yeah,
not.
I've seen it. I've
and
seen
one of them
that.
Was the light bulb.
I like the dog.
I don't remember most of it anymore. Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah. That's like a dick and balls, wasn't
yeah.
it? And then, but it was like the dog's nose and eyes.
Yeah.
Oh, life.
So, beginners.
It's on Netflix. So if you have Netflix, it takes you like nothing to watch. I wouldn't.
I mean, the acting's good.
The acting is great. The story, like there were some parts of the story, like the constant flashbacks.
It's a slice of life movie. You don't get like any full resolution.
It's more of the character study of him going through the grief of his dad.
And you were absolutely right, which I wasn't going to mention, but you brought it up, that there were a couple points in that movie where the blues I slid right into.
Well, I mean, it's
with things that were going on with me, you were absolutely right. I slid right into it.
Yeah,
it's should I stop and come back later?
It's sad. I mean, there are parts of the movie that are legitimately very sad, but you're... I think the movie succeeds by making you feel that way because that's how the character is feeling. The character is sad.
Yep.
He's lost his father, and he's trying to come to grips with that. And not just losing his father, but losing his father who is, for the first time in his life, he sees as a happy person. He's never known that.
As a whole person.
Yeah, as a whole person even, yeah.
And also, I think, trying to figure out if he can actually love someone without sabotaging it, without getting scared of it. Is he going to be able to do it this time? Because... you know, you get the sense he wants to, but can he?
Well, there's a conversation between him and his dad that I really liked, where his dad is basically like, so are you going to try to be happy now? And he's like, he calls him on it. He's like, so is this one you're actually going to keep around? You know, and I can't remember the character's name now, Ewan McGregor's character.
Oliver.
He was fully cognizant of himself doing it. He knew exactly what he was doing. He knew exactly how he was sabotaging the relationships. And he felt that he was justified in doing it because it wasn't the person who was going to make him always and forever blissfully happy. Panda's trying to come in.
I like that they
be fine.
They ended the movie with, you know, just a blank screen of the name on it. Because I'm just like, shit, they are beginning. They're beginning their relationship, like, right now.
Yeah.
They're beginning to, you know, trust people and love them and not run away. So that's pretty... I like that part.
You just reminded me of the parts where they just show a solid color on the screen. Did anybody else get annoyed at the uneven backlighting on their TV when that came up? Nope.
I was watching it on a tablet.
Oh. I didn't even notice that.
You didn't even notice? I could see where the clusters of LEDs on the back of my TV were whenever they showed the solid colors. I was like, damn it! I didn't want to know that.
It's weird.
It's...
You're a fucking nerd, and no one likes you.
There it is.
Wait, he was waiting.
What's my jazz name? I can't remember what the jazz name was from the
Fatty Ribs.
Fatty Ribs.
Fatty Ribs.
That's his drag name.
I think I was telling you. Drag.
That's his drag name.
So,
now you have to let him.
New disclaimer, if you see anyone in drag at Sausage Fest, you have to go up to them and ask,
Fatty Ribs?
Fatty Ribs? You get a free bracelet?
Maybe. Or you're going to fucking insult somebody.
Yes.
It might also be me because I might forget this by then.
And we will be there watching.
We'll remind you.
Stop. good luck. Good luck getting that bracelet.
I'm just so sad at the thought of getting a corset that would fit you because it's going to be so small.
It would be like for a baby's arm.
What the fuck? It's so upsetting to me.
See, I think I might actually have a Sausage Fest shirt that could fit you. Because I have some really small sizes.
I was just
going to
go one of Aaron's old shirts.
I don't even know because they're in a tub downstairs.
Or medium or small, depending on the shirt company.
Adult? Small?
Yeah.
That's what Holden wears.
There you go.
Is this a small?
I don't know. What is it?
Large, extra large, depending on small. The company who makes it.
Yeah, so this is a small.
Yeah. We might actually have one. Because the first year or two, I ordered a couple of extras in certain sizes. Actually, it might be a medium. I might have a medium.
I mean, I wear mediums. I used to only wear extra larges because I did not wear clothes
Aaron
that fit.
Must have been, oh, actually, you know what? Holden was using this. Because he is trying out for a part in school play, and he was highlighting his lines.
Cool. That's cool.
Good.
What's the I liked play? His new Facebook picture.
Are we going to backseat producers the play?
We could. It's going to be in December. We could actually do that. We could watch it.
I don't want to say that. We could just Holden kids.
Whoever has a kid that goes to Holden school.
That would be amazing.
He'll be the only one who knows what we're talking about.
Yeah, it's they're doing a series of 10 short plays.
Cool.
And that's going to be their performance. Instead of doing one big play where you'd have a couple of kids carrying all the performances and getting all the lines, mm-hmm. they're doing 10 short plays. Like one of the plays is just a scene between two people. Hmm. And then there's going to be some that are like have five or six people. And it gives more kids the opportunity to have a bigger role, even though it's short.
It's less stressful for the kids, though. I mean, having to remember a whole play worth of lines and, you know, worrying about messing up. I mean.
Yeah,
it's definitely.
Sure, you know, I can't remember the names of the people I work
big
with.
Big stress reliever.
So yeah. with that, there's if the kids are if they're good enough and if they feel that they can handle it, they might actually have multiple roles across multiple plays. So he could end up being in two to three plays depending on the number of kids that try out and how well he does, etc.
Get it?
There's like two of them that are about superheroes. So he's like
Sweet.
All over that.
I am ready for this role. I was born for it.
Well, the kid's a ham. So
I was born into this role.
Your kids are.
Yeah. So he was telling me tonight they did the auditions, and he's like, yeah, because he like picked a few of the roles that he wanted to audition for. So he had memorized the lines for those roles. Turns out they show up and they're like, okay, here's the roles you're reading.
Aww.
It's like, oh, so he's like, they just gave us sheets to read from. I was like, you didn't just read, did you? He's like, no. He's like, there's one where he's like at a superhero, like almost like therapy session, like a group therapy session. And like they're talking and one of the heroes comes up as really bombastic. And it's like, my name is Smash and I'm blah, blah, blah. And it's like, he's, you know, real over the top. Well, they assigned Holden that one. He's like, so when I got to my part, I stood up and I pointed at the guy. And I said, I'm Smash. He's like, okay. He's like, then I was doing another one. I didn't remember the role, but he was telling me about it. And he said, so I was playing the sidekick, and I needed to make an entrance. So I came in and did a rock star slide across the stage. Okay.
Good.
So that happened.
You really have to ham it up in plays.
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, he has no problem doing that. He won't worry about letting himself get embarrassed, so it'll work.
I was a lot like him at his age. How old is he?
13. Just turned.
Yep.
Everybody's phones just went up. Nope. Mine.
I would not have tried to be in a play. Actually, I was in one play when I was really little.
I was in plays all through high school.
I was Theodore the Chipmunk.
I could see that.
And,
yes.
Then I was never in. I was never in a play
oh, no.
ever
the
again.
Nerd.
Yeah.
Did you have the big glasses?
I did. And I was singing about a hula hoop.
Fitting.
Aww. I don't know.
I thought that was.
I was singing about
Alvin's
something.
Line.
I was singing about something. Maybe
Alvin's
it wasn't
the one
the
who
hoop.
Wants the hula hoop.
Fuck,
wait
what
was
a
I
minute.
Singing about?
Who's the nerd? That was awfully specific.
Alvin.
Yeah.
The chipmunk.
I know.
I'm confused.
You got awfully specific about knowing which one had which lines in that.
But Alvin,
he's adorable.
Yeah,
that's
Alvin
the
wanted
the
hula hoop.
Me, I wanna
That's Alvin.
I can't stand that.
Alvin. I loved the movie. Simon's that the little they had.
Fat one.
Yep.
Theodore's the tall geek.
I love the movie that they had where they ended up going around the world and they have the three girly chipmunks.
Oh yeah.
And the second live action one.
Nope, not a live action. Nope, never seen any of the live action ones. But the girls get a penguin, a baby penguin, and that's the best part. And they, all three of them end up in, like, harem-style garb, you know what I mean? Like, the...
Yeah.
Actually, now that I'm thinking about it...
But they, none of them had pants.
They did, in this part, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
But I know they had, like, the, you know, the veil.
Oh, I wanted a plane that loops the loop.
Okay. Right. All right, we accept that. Because Alvin wanted the hula hoop.
Right.
That's okay. It's been years, you don't have to still remember your line.
Even though we do.
That was like kindergarten or first grade or some shit. I don't know.
I was the narrator in our in my third grade play.
If I could be the center of attention, like, yes.
See, everyone thought it was, they're like, oh, you're the narrator. I'm like, you know what? I'm on stage the entire time. I stand there and talk the entire time.
There's beginners.
Yeah. We did it. We did what we came here to do.
We actually talked about the movie.
As brief
and
as
it's
it
not,
was.
And it's not even tomorrow yet, because I figured it would be.
It's close. It's getting there.
We're getting there.
As brief as it was, we can talk about it.
All right. Next week, To Kill a Mockingbird.
Yep.
The original?
Yes.
The documentary.
What?
It's about taxidermy.
Stop. Don't do that.
I'm ready for some Drew Radley.
Nobody is going to show up next week. We are all fatally ill.
I'm trying to figure out if I want to read the book as well.
No,
like,
you
by
don't.
Next
That's...
week. I don't know if I can. Like, can I read it in a week?
That's
I read that. I read that book.
I've never read it. I've not seen the movie, and I've not read the book.
I have not
Freshman
either.
Year?
It was in
I
high school.
I think you could Junior finish year. It.
I can pretty sure I can get the audiobook and listen to it. Next.
My commute is 10 minutes. So the audiobook isn't going to do much to me.
My main problem with the book was it was written a long time ago.
Spoilers.
So there's like some slang and shit in there that I did not understand until I watched the movie.
Oh.
But I'll talk about that next
what
week.
What was the name of the author?
Harper
Lee.
Harper Lee. Didn't they recently release a book?
Yes.
Yeah.
Allegedly against her will, but maybe not against her will.
It's
and
hard to say.
Everybody's upset because they think
so,
she's a racist, but she might
so,
not be.
Oh, you're talking about the prequel to
No,
Kill
it's
Mockingbird.
Not a prequel. It's a sequel.
No, it's a prequel.
No, it's talking about...
It's about Scout little, as an adult.
Yeah.
Oh, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And she gets married and...
So,
her husband's like a racist,
so,
allegedly. Or...
So what I understand this to be is Harper Lee wrote The Watchtower, whatever that name of the book is, the new one. She wrote that one first, and then she wrote...
So technically To Kill a Mockingbird would be the prequel.
Yeah, To Kill a Mockingbird is the prequel. She wrote that one. She took them to a publisher. The publisher said, yeah, this is the one we're going to print, and went with To Kill a Mockingbird. And it took off, and... Like, that all happened. And I've heard different accounts of exactly how the new one got published. Like, I've heard different stories that, yeah, she feels that she finally wants to just get it out there into the public. I've heard that she's mentally incapacitated and that her estate wants the money, so they released the manuscript. And that the publisher's not having a problem with it because then they get all the sales from both books because people are now going out and buying copies of To Kill a Mockingbird. And I don't know what the actual truth is because I haven't bothered to look. It was only 2 days ago that I actually, no, it was only yesterday that I bothered to look to find out why people from Syria were leaving Syria. I knew they were leaving. I knew they were refugees. I didn't know why.
There's a war going on.
There is a civil war going on. It's been going on for 4 years. I learned that yesterday. I knew that there had been a war going on for a long time, but
and
I didn't know.
We intervened briefly because they used chemical weapons for some reason. That's the magical bad thing. Bombs are fine, but chemical weapons are bad. And unless we're using them.
In Cambodia. We used them in Cambodia. That's some nasty shit.
It's terrible. So we intervened and made the Syrian regime get rid of it, but now there's like evidence that ISIS has a hold. I don't fucking know. I don't know. It's complicated.
Lies.
I had a very brief Facebook moment where I almost commented on something that just pissed me off.
Oh, it's so hard.
I mean, I had like half a sentence done, and this is someone who is.
I have to constantly remind myself, don't engage.
Sometimes
fail.
I do. Sometimes I do. Sometimes I just jump feet first into it.
And only because I know no
on
one
your
involved.
Status that you posted a little while ago.
Which
that started
one?
The fights about
oh, yeah.
Black Lives Matter.
Oh yeah.
I was getting so heated reading those comments.
I mean, this is someone I am related to.
Yeah, fuck them. I mean, not literally. But
depending on how far away they are, then it's all right.
Only because I know no one's going to hear it. It's my brother. We are.
Yeah, then you probably don't.
Unbelievable polar opposites. And he put a thing up on Facebook, and it was a thing of the United States, and it said something like, you know, Dear immigrants, we're full, fuck you, go home. And I really wanted to go, our parents are fucking immigrants! But I didn't.
Wow. No, I would have totally done that.
Oh,
if my brother
my
did
mother
that,
sees
I
this.
I
and I'm like,
I done it.
I don't. I'm still tempted because I don't respond to so many things.
I would have called them out on that immediately.
Like, he put a thing up today where it was, you know, it was something that he'd shared from someone else, and you know, Obama is making the military churches take down their crosses, and no one says a word about that. So I was like,
what?
I'm just going to look into this.
Because it's not true.
No, well, it is true, but it is true, but it's not. Military churches are supposed to be non-denominational.
Oh, yeah.
Bush has had crosses removed because you're not supposed to. If a cross is there, then people are going to think only Christians can go.
No, it's
military churches or, you know, places of worship are to welcome everybody.
Yeah, because they have a
Bush
they have a chaplain
it,
for
because they're not churches or chapels.
Yeah. I don't know because I knew church wasn't the word.
It's
but,
chapel,
and it's that whole, you know, you're cherry picking and making things up and then just passing it around. And I really wanted to throw the article into the comment saying Bush did it too. The reason why they did it, and it's absolutely clear because
it was non-denominational. We let the Baptists also use it. It wasn't just the Catholics that got
but
to
there,
use it.
And that's why there shouldn't be a, you know, the cross is not supposed to be there because everyone is welcome.
The Protestants, they had their time.
It's just like the
Tuesday from 1 to 2. And that's
that city in Arkansas.
I think we let them in sometimes.
There's
we don't talk about that.
There's a city in Arkansas that wants to have
their time in.
The Ten Commandments on their courthouse. So the Church of Satanists, who is really just an atheist organization, was like, okay, well, if you can do that, we're going to have a great big statue of this pagan god in there as well.
No, it wasn't a pagan god. It was,
No, it's. I just read this article today.
It wasn't a pagan god. It was, I'm pretty sure it's a demon. God, what's his name?
Victor. Oh, sorry. That's get back to my
brother. I'm pretty sure.
I'm pretty sure no one in
Crowley.
My family
I'm pretty
listens
sure it's
to this.
Christian.
You'll know stuff. After this.
I don't care.
I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure it's still Christian.
Dude, if I say one more like
Crowley?
Obama
Crowley?
Needs to be hung from a tree anybody thing else? From anyone in
Becky
my family.
God damn it! Supernatural, nobody.
I engaged with someone at a group event a couple years ago, and it got into a shouting match.
And
it got into me laughing at the drunk guy as he's threatening to punch me, which is just hilarious because it's like, I know everyone else there would be.
Yeah, that's a pagan god. Baphomet's a pagan god, I think.
You're a pagan god? I don't think so.
I think so.
I'm trying to
look. I gotta ride in the car with them home.
I'm all the way home, though.
I know. I'm only the first 20 minutes, 15 or so.
I did get into an all-out war with someone when same-sex marriage got legalized that day.
I didn't go on Facebook for at least a couple weeks.
I try to ignore it and let
because I know
things
that
roll off. But
I just throw my opinion out there and let people.
No, I fought this guy.
I have two sides of my family that are polar opposite.
See,
it's
hard.
Fuck that. I have my own belief system that, you know.
As far as I can recall, there's only two times, I think, that I've actually put a little blurb up there. And I basically start off with, I'm not going to argue with anyone over this. This is just how I feel. This is what annoys me about what people are doing.
See, and you know what?
Away.
the first person that puts, I'm not going to argue about this, is the person that I don't care if I'm agreeing with you. I will fucking argue with you because don't put your opinion out there if you're not willing to back it up. See, that drives me up the wall because I know there's people. But there's people that I know that put their opinion out there, and as soon as anybody questions on them on it, they pull their post down.
What pisses me off? What pisses me off is that so many people are posting things that they call opinions that are actually incorrect facts. They are just wrong.
Yeah.
You are saying an event or
it's my opinion.
Happened.
No.
This is
no,
Alex's
it's not your opinion.
It is not your
well,
opinion
that's
Obama's
like
a Muslim.
Their first right. their first offense. Like, oh, well, I'm not allowed to share my opinion anymore. Like, what happened to the First Amendment? Like, stop. Like, will you just stop?
Like, global warming isn't real. No, you're fucking wrong. 97% of scientists say it is. Are you smarter than 97% of scientists? Fuck no, you're not.
But is that 100% of scientists? I don't think so.
No.
Are you smarter than any one scientist I could pull into this conversation?
Yeah. 3% odds? I get better odds than that in Lotto. And I buy into that shit every week.
No, it's this isn't your opinion. You're fucking wrong and you're dumb. Like, stop posting this.
The last thing I posted was when, on 9/11, when the lightning strike hit the mosque in Mecca.
Oh, yeah.
And people were like, it's karma. We're rejoicing. And
oh, my God.
I never heard anything about it.
Yeah, oh, I saw that. It was
so terrible.
Like yeah. And I put something. And there were a few people that not so much argued with me, but pointed out, because I basically said, I really don't think that, as many people were saying, you know, Jesus was like, yeah, it's about time I got you guys. I'm like, because basically Jesus wasn't an ass.
Yeah.
And I did get a few people who pointed out, not to argue with me, but pointed out where there are some Bible verses that are stupid, and this is, that people can use as their backup.
Oh,
and they were not, and I was like, you know what, that's okay.
What drives me crazy about that, when people are, like, rejoicing over something, like, it's just awful,
yeah,
like, that happening.
I'm like, Jesus,
they don't
not
see,
yeah.
like, it's the same exact thing.
Absolutely.
It's exactly the same thing as whenever you hear about, you know, someone from ISIS rejoicing over American deaths. Like, it's yeah. the same thing.
And these
like,
were all
living the same
these
exact
were all the
life.
Same people
like,
who, when they would talk about 9/11, would say, remember, you know, right after that happened, everyone was coming together. You know, what happened to that world? It's like, you got angry and ugly.
Right.
That's what happened. You, the one who are saying what happened, you're the one that happened to it. Because now you just hate everybody for little to no reason.
Those are the same people who caused that fucking freshman in Texas to yeah. be arrested for bringing a clock to
oh
school.
My God.
That's it's a bomb.
Bullshit.
No, it's
I
a fucking
loved,
circuit board hooked
up
to a screen.
I loved what Obama did. I thought that was fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, the thing that really bugs me about that is, like, somebody put up a post and was like, you know, here's a picture of a white kid with a gun. Here's a picture of Ahmed in handcuffs, and he looks completely distraught.
Wearing
like,
a NASA shirt.
Yeah.
How can you, like, this? There's obviously a difference here. And everyone's like, no, 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 it has nothing to do with race. Like, no, I'm sorry, but if Jimmy came to school with a clock, like...
If, you know what, if Holden came to school with a clock, which he's almost that age, you know, he's,
right.
he's a year younger than this kid, and if I could get him to fucking do something... I mean, this would be the kind of... That is exactly the kind of shit he would pull. It is. He would put something like that together, throw it in his backpack, probably not tell us that he was doing it,
well,
take it in
and, be like,
and just show it. Hey, look at that.
And the thing is...
We were talking about this in school. That's what I mean.
The police chief was like, oh, he didn't tell us it was made from these parts of this clock. He told you it was a clock the whole fucking time. Like, well, he didn't explain it in this way. He was being arrested while you were interrogating him
and
illegally.
He's 14.
Without his parents.
He's
yeah.
a 14-year-old child.
This is like...
That alone is illegal, isn't
these
it?
These fucking well, teachers and police
to question
officers
him without
are on power
his parents
trip.
Present.
And what if he put a... What if he had a pipe bomb that he had available to him and would have strapped that to it? Then what would have happened? Nothing, because it's still a fucking clock.
It's yeah. a clock! Like...
But, buddy... He didn't, though.
Right.
Like,
it still would have told time.
So. You still would have been wrong all day long.
How yeah. like how awful that is. It's just on so many levels, you know, because you have this kid who is, like, bright and passionate and curious, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
you could
interested in
probably
engineering.
Ruined his dreams.
And you burnt that to shit.
No. You know what? If anything,
I think
he's more empowered now than ever.
Well, I fucking hope so.
Well, the...
the outpouring of support, because right. there is a huge outpouring of support.
Well, you saw what Obama tweeted to oh, yeah. him. Cool clock.
Do you want to come to White House?
Yeah, I know.
I'm hoping that thank like, you. Neil deGrasse Tyson, I don't know if he's made like a statement or something,
I
but
hope
that
he does.
Would be like...
No,
like,
what would be even more awesome if Neil deGrasse Tyson like was his ambassador to the White House, you
right.
know, just like, oh, yeah. just like... Walked him in arm in arm. Like, we're bros now.
Exactly.
Like, I would give this kid a scholarship right now after this shit that
I
he
think,
went through.
I don't think but, that's going to be a problem.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is...
I don't think that's going to be a problem. I would hope it's never going to be a problem for that kid to do anything in life now. I hope that this one terrible, shitty thing gives him a free pass for the rest of his life. It should.
Mm-hmm.
There's no reason it shouldn't.
He should at least be able to get... through college
to be handcuffed at 14 years old that's
over something that is so obviously not a bomb.
Yeah,
like, you're a police officer. If you think that's a bomb, you are no longer a fucking police officer. If I was in charge, you are a dumb shit and you don't get to carry a gun anymore. Like,
and I was reading the comments on it, and obviously people are coming up and they're like, well, Muslim people do blow shit up, like, they're more, and I'm like, oh my god, exactly.
And that exhale, I
and
do
then,
that.
But then I saw someone be like, well, white people are more likely to shoot up a school, so should I just assume that any white person? Well, and they're like, "Where the, you can't find statistics on that. No, like, it's compiled and verified.
There,
like,
is, there are
it's a very
multiple.
It's a very specific demographic of white males as well.
More people have been killed by white terrorists in this country since 9/11 than...
And before.
Yeah, like,
and
it's
before.
Ridiculous.
Let's talk about Timothy McVeigh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, our problem in this country is extremists, not Muslims. It is white people.
Well, then whenever something happens, like the church shooting, that kid, he's just...
He's lone wolf.
No, he's crazy. There's something wrong with him. Like, he needed
help.
We
need to talk about mental health.
Right. Yeah. But then a few weeks later, that
the reporters.
No, well, that happened. But there was a Muslim, I don't even know if he was Muslim, but he had like a Middle Eastern name.
Mm-hmm.
He shot a couple people, and immediately, well, this guy must have been a terrorist, blah, mm-hmm. blah, blah. But then you're looking, what is the name of the kid that shot the church? I don't even remember.
I don't remember his name.
He writes a racist, right. He writes a racist manifesto, like, lays it all out very specifically what he was doing. But then you look into the history of this other kid with this Muslim name, and he has, none of it is, like, political. It's all, like, suicidal, you know, angry thoughts. Like, he has all these run-ins. He's the terrorist.
Mm-hmm.
But this white kid is just, you know, an offshoot. He just needed help.
Except he was wearing flags.
I like the infographics about the war on police and the police deaths
versus civilian deaths.
Police deaths where the police were targeted on the job since the turn of the century, like 1900, and the drastic drop. Well, the drastic spike during the Prohibition, and then immediately following the drastic drop after, when there was all the active gang violence and like the whole scene around the Chicago mob scene, where they were just actively just targeting police. They were just murdering them.
Did you guys hear about the, after the Ferguson incident, I don't know if it was like New York or somewhere on the East Coast, some guy put up on Twitter or some social media, like, how he was going to get back at the cops, and then like three dead cops, or there was like two partners were found dead in their squad car in like the area, I guess, he lived or something like that.
I would need this to be verified.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I should have heard about this and I didn't.
I don't pay that much attention.
Well, I know there. I mean, I know there have been.
I paid very close attention to the Ferguson protests.
I don't know about a big handful, but I know there have been a handful of police officers that have been shot in their car that, you know, basically, you know, they were specifically targeted. I don't know if I remember that one, but I know that there...
It happened in St. Louis recently. The cop didn't die, but he was shot.
I know there's been maybe a half dozen that I can think of.
There's also been very specific incidents in St. Louis of major police corruption. Like, there was that one police officer who bought a shotgun and then sold it to drug dealers.
Nice!
Like, so there is known illegal activity within the St. Louis police forces that they're tracking down. So it could all be related to that. Because the only times I've heard of people getting shot in St. Louis was either it was a stray bullet or a drug deal going wrong.
I mean, but the thing is, you can't say... you can't say anything. Like, you can't be for against, you can't be against police brutality and also be supportive of cops. Like, it, people make it seem like it's one or the other.
It's a binary decision. You have to mm-hmm. make one call or the other.
Right.
And
it's like, because, unfortunately, because everyone knows every cops, single situation is
exactly the same.
No. Right. Like, yeah. That's not how it works.
The same thing gets said about the military. You can't, you can't support the military but say that you shouldn't be going to war.
Right.
Except those things are not the same at all.
Yeah, every situation is different when it comes to the police. I mean, I've seen videos of, you know,
Tamir Rice.
Like, huh?
Tamir Rice comes to mind. He was a 12-year-old who got shot and killed in like 2 seconds after the police showed up. They basically did a drive-by shooting on him. They didn't stop, ask him anything. They just killed him on sight.
I didn't hear about
and that. I think those police are.
I remember. Still yeah, yeah.
That's terrible. But I'm just saying, like I've seen videos of like drunk people getting tased like 6 or 7 times and not going down. You know,
I mean,
it's just like
sometimes
you have to use excessive force.
Yeah,
no, you never have to use excessive force. By definition, you never have to use excessive force.
And I think the difference is also the hero moniker that has been put upon police officers and firefighters is damaging to them because they don't always do anything heroic. There's nothing beyond doing your job. This is the job that you were chosen for. This is the job that you chose. It's not like somebody was drafted into being a cop. That's not how that works. And if you're doing a job and you're to protect and serve, that doesn't mean your first line of protection is not with active force. That's not protection. By definition, that is not protection, nor is it service.
No, the problem is the police aren't trained well. They're constantly told, you know, there's danger around every corner. You need to protect yourself. Everyone can kill you.
Well, and yeah,
so
they're
on edge 24/7.
They're also in an environment where aggressive violence is a lifestyle that they support.
Yeah. There are a lot of them that are like amped up. They like want to hit a guy.
Yeah.
They aren't trying to defuse situations. They want to mm-hmm. escalate.
Because everybody knows guys like that.
Oh.
Regardless if they're police or not. So how is it?
Absolutely.
Obviously, there are members of the police force like that as well.
And
you know?
It's not just guys. There are women like that too, but...
Well, yeah. I'm right here, Tony.
Even just videos that I've seen of police officers who, you know, traffic stops. And they're just... It's like their aggression is bubbling over a traffic stop.
Have you ever been interviewed by a police officer?
I have not.
It's an interesting experience.
I would probably pee myself.
And I think I would just be so scared. I have been a couple of times. One time was for a car accident. Another time was because I had my credit information stolen, so I had to report to the police. And another time was because my girlfriend at the time and I were walking through a parking lot, and it was where she paid to park her car. And some people were doing some work in that area. And this was in like 91.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody stole a car phone because it wasn't a cell phone.
Oh, yeah.
It was a car phone. Somebody stole a car phone out of one of the cars. So we were questioned about it. And each one of those three completely different circumstances, I felt intimidated during the interview process.
Yeah.
And the one, I'm reporting a crime. And I was being made to feel intimidated. And it wasn't like he was, and I really didn't feel intimidated because I'm like, dude, you're like 15 years younger than me. And like, I'm not that worried about this. But like their stance, everything they do, it was always forward, aggressing, shoulders forward. It was to intimidate. It was to puff themselves up and make themselves bigger.
The only times I've really dealt with in Tampa, I dealt with the sheriff a few times at one particular apartment I lived in because I had my friend and I had upstairs neighbors that they worked in a restaurant. So they'd come home at 2 a.m. drunk with 10 or 12 of their friends.
As you do.
And they were, their patio was right above my bedroom. We would wake up in the morning and find glitter and beer on our patios because it would slip through the wood floors. They broke our ceiling from dancing. Oh, yeah. I mean, literally a big chunk came through. And I mean, there were days where I would go 3 days in a row without sleeping because they were making so much noise. And I, you know, the apartment wouldn't do anything because they weren't there at 3 a.m.
They sound like fun people.
Called this, I got them evicted. It took me a while, but I got them evicted.
You're the problem.
Whatever.
I called the cops on our upstairs neighbors.
I've had two different sets of neighbors evicted.
But I called because I was out on our balcony. And they're like, so-and-so is really drunk again, and he bit me, and he tried to hit someone, and I think he has alcohol poisoning. And they're like yelling and fighting, and I'm like, oh okay, I'm gonna call the police.
Somebody needs to be grown up here.
Right? And the police came, and then an ambulance came, so apparently we did the right thing.
Do you remember? I remember, though, there was another time where I heard hushed words, were like, we're gonna get the cops called on us again. And I was like, fuck yeah, you are.
Give me the chair so I can stand.
There was this one night I'd called them because they were upstairs dancing. That was the night that the piece of the ceiling came down. And I called the sheriff and, you know, talked to them for a few minutes. And then went upstairs and talked. And it was they were like 21 years old. So they went upstairs and they're like, oh, we're so sorry. We didn't realize we were being loud. One of our friends passed away. I'm like, wow, that's the dumbest story I've ever heard. So, you know, he's like, just keep it down. It was like 3 a.m. Keep it down. So he doesn't even make it to the bottom of the stairs. And they start up again. And Laurie and I were standing out there. And he's like 3 steps from the bottom. And the party starts up, and he turns around and bangs on the door. He was like, did you not hear me? And I was like, wow, this is pretty damn cool.
Yeah. So
that was, yeah.
So I grew up in a military family, and we knew a couple of guys who not only were they in the military, but then they were in the MPs, and then they would get civilian jobs in the police afterwards.
Wow.
Ugh.
Those guys were assholes for the most part. Some that weren't. There were some that weren't. But, man, there is a special kind of person who does that. And I'm not talking in a way that I'm proud of that person.
They grow up as bullies, realize that when they become adults, they don't have a way to assert power over anybody. So they seek positions where they can do that. Mm-hmm. Like, that is all they do. And it's like, dude, just, like, enjoy yourself. Like, be happy. Like,
become a lumberjack so you can get rid of like that kind of energy.
Their way through life.
Yeah, like as a nerd growing up, like I know I'm going to exceed you. Compete with me or
that's
fuck off.
Alex.
Like the, you know, the geek shall inherit the earth.
I think the worst kind of cop is the kid who got bullied his whole life that, you know, actually grows a pair of nuts, and then he's like, all right, I'm gonna decide to get back at all the kids, like the ones that bullied me, and then just hate all of the kids. Because I mean, like, I've had cops just come up to me at the skate park and hassle me, and, you know, put me on the, you know, sit me down on the curb and threaten me with arrest just for, you know, not having knee pads on.
We obviously need to get off their lawn.
Yeah. You're a skater, so they're in their
rights. I was at the skate park, though. Like, it was bullshit.
Like, sir, this is what this place is meant for. Do you not understand?
Yeah, this is a honeypot for us to catch you thieving hooligans. That's why we built it, to arrest you.
Oh, God.
I've had decent interactions with police officers, but all three of the interactions I've had while I've lived in St. Louis were not bad. Like, they weren't traumatic, but they weren't, like, good.
They're just being dicks for no reason. Like, you get pulled over. Is there any reason you were doing 75? I didn't see you. So,
I thought you were trying to get behind me.
Like,
is motive part of the crime?
Do I have to have a reason?
Is there an answer that will get me out of a ticket? What's...
But
for future reference...
Give me one this time, but could you tell me what the right answer is?
But I've had other experiences. I was pulled over once in Illinois for going, God, like 80 or 90 up I-55. And this cop pulled me over and he was like, why are you speeding? I'm like, I landed on a plane at like midnight last night. I got a little bit of sleep and I was just trying to make it to school before my second class started. All right, slow down. Thank you.
Yeah.
Like, I've had that experience.
You're on 55 in Illinois. There's a whole lot of flat.
There's fucking nothing there.
I wasn't going a lot of it.
I was not going that much faster than the next fastest guy, right? Yeah. Like, it was just, I crossed some threshold for that cop, and he's like, "This is too much."
7 miles an hour. It used to be the threshold in Illinois.
Seven. I think when I was speeding, the speed limit was 65, and I was going way over. It was over 80, maybe up to 90.
I read an article about that once, about the whole 7 miles, and I still keep that 7 mile thing.
Every time I've been pulled over, I've gotten a ticket, which is twice.
I've never been pulled over.
Alex has gotten how many tickets?
One. I've been pulled over lots of times.
Oh, I can't stand it.
I've been pulled over a couple times.
I don't like you anymore either.
I've only been pulled over once in St. Louis County, and it was in Town and Country, and fuck those police. They patrol that little strip of 270, even though they can't even enter and exit 270 and stay in their jurisdiction. Yeah. They get that little half mile that they want to pop people speeding on.
Yep. I got pulled over once between O'Fallon and Fairview Heights. I had headlight out, and it was me and my buddy and his girlfriend. And me and my buddy were in the front seat. His girlfriend was in the back seat. And this was like 91, so we all had hair down to here. Yeah. Like, all had long hair. And I think they thought he was pulling over a bunch of long-haired guys. And so he's looking around, and he's like, "You know, you have a headlight out? Really? I wouldn't joke about that. Oh, I'm sorry, officer." You know, and I'm like a mile from my house. You know, that was when I was at my parents' house. And it's like, "Well, you need to get that fixed." "Yes, officer, thank you." You know, I'm like, I'm not going to be an asshole about it. There's no reason to be. So he gave me a warning. If he would have flashed his flashlight in the back seat next to where my buddy's girlfriend was the headlight that I was supposed to have put in earlier. I had it in the back seat. I just didn't put it in.
I got pulled over once for a headlight out, too, and I didn't know it was out. Like, I was in my truck, and it just had a really, like, the other headlight was really bright, apparently. I could still see fine. Like, I saw the cop turn around, like, we passed each other, and he turned around to come after me, and I immediately thought, "Oh, shit, what is the speed limit? I must have been speeding." So I pulled over, and he's like, "Oh, you must know what I pulled you over for. I was speeding, wasn't I?" "No."
"But I'll look into that now that you brought it up."
"Don't start with that."
He's like, "You have a headlight out." "I do?"
"I have a headlight."
"Oh, shit."
"Huh?"
I was like, "I had no idea." He's like, "Oh, you pulled over right away. I thought you knew what I was pulling you over for." I was like, "I just didn't want to be a dick. I saw you pulling a U-turn."
I'm not going to piss you off by making you chase me down.
Yeah, I was like,
I'm not going to resist arrest. Like, that's just...
I'm terrified of police because when I was like six, a cop pulled my dad over and screamed at him in front of me. Like, just berated him. So
that's awesome.
And like, as this was happening, I was like crying in the corner, like, because I didn't know why it was happening. My dad didn't do anything that bad. Like, but I was driving on his lap. Like, that was what he was screaming at him about.
Little did he know.
And we were in like a 25 mile an hour zone.
Was he letting you steer?
Yeah.
That's sweet.
And it's not like I could do it. Like, my legs weren't long enough to reach the pedals. Like,
my mom did that.
He had total control over everything. Looking back on it, I can see it was
endangering your child, though. I mean, if that guy...
I could see it's dangerous. Yeah. And if that cop had been like, "Hey, that's..."
But you didn't have to yell about it.
Yeah, "Hey, that's dangerous. Yeah, don't do that," you know?
Where there's pictures of me coming home from the hospital, I'm in my mom's arms in the front seat of the car.
Well, we didn't use seatbelts.
Okay, but keep in mind, someone had to be taking that picture. In the moving car.
I also want to point out that there were not digital cameras then.
No.
So this was a manual process.
You can drive with your knees.
Steering wheels were big enough back then that you could.
I can. My car. I don't do it often because I'm not very coordinated.
All right, I think we should be done.
I gotta go to bed, Tony.
You what?
I don't know how I'm getting blamed for this one.
I actually have to be at work at 7 tomorrow.
Oh, well, you have time for football, actually. All right, next week, get a Mockingbird.
Bye.